Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not, is a major factor in dancing like a retard, may cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them, also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people, and it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Yippee!
Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. Saturday, April 22nd. Oh, almost noon, I guess. Cloudy day yesterday was bright and sunny, and I spent the whole day pretty well indoors. Got a cup of tea going, and I'm watching a movie, The Sunshine Makers. A fabulous documentary that Kenji put on for me on the story of LSD. And what's so great? It's Nick Sands and Tim Scully and Oswald, all the people who I've read about in books. And here's a documentary showing, you know, video footage of them and interviews later in life. It's really interesting. And any time I read some of this, any time I read about or see stuff like this, I'm right back into that picture of a time when the idealists and those who were dropping acid believed the world would be a better place. And this is why these guys were, you know, they were, their plan was to turn on the world for free. Like, just get everybody high. These weren't guys out to make money. These weren't pot dealers. These were, there can be peace. And again, against the backdrop of Vietnam and whatever else was going on, and just the establishment. And I buy into that just wholeheartedly. And it isn't, it's naivety to realize, when you realize that anybody in a position of power is not going to give up that power. Certainly not for dreamlike ideals of, you know, love and peace and exploring your own mind. And yet, it's, I think they were right. The world, we might have been in a very different place today if more and more and more people had been able to turn on. God, riding the Hastings bus yesterday, I'm sure the last guy got on had shit his pants. I mean, he just stunk and stumbled and could barely get on. It's horrific. And these are people doing, this guy's not high in acid. This guy is rubbing alcohol on others on just whatever crack and bits of shit they can get by the fucking moneymakers who are out to sell this stuff, you know, making money. They're not there to turn on the world. And this is what's so distressing for me is people wanting to lump it all together. Oh, yeah, drug dealers, drugs. You can pick those words apart and find out what are they talking about. And LSD was something separate. And the fact that we're coming to the point that we're going to legalize marijuana is also in that way. This isn't, you know, this is mellow. People don't go crazy. Alcohol is by far a more damaging drug, and yet it's legal because of business, of the owners. Anyway, I don't want to lecture you, and I'd be just pissed off if anybody even tried to argue with me. Fuck you. This trip to Vancouver, I said, was a rekindling old days. I've got another book I just started yesterday, Prime Green, Remembering the 60s by Robert Stone. A very good read, one of the ones I picked up on the bookshop. Starting off, he was in the American Navy in the late 50s. Anyway, I won't go into it, but opening the trunk in American 60s might seem at first to be fearsome, even a rueful undertaking. However, the incomparable novelist Robert Stone is obviously a destiny's choice for the role of narrator guide. Stone has all the writerly refinements, he writes with great clarity, felicity, and with perfect pitch. But more significantly, he writes with unnostalgic compassion and intelligence for that tumultuous time. Now surprisingly low on our horizon, but that by some necromancy of history. Apologies to all those with a better education than I and can pronounce that word, has presented us with all we see around us today. Anyway, that, the Blue Hand book, that Blue Hand book, Ginsberg. And then going backwards, Ecstasy of the Beats. Just one more I had to have for the Beat collection. And Paul Krasner, publisher of The Realist, Confessions of a Raving Unconfined Nut. All right. So, anyway, this movie is great, but I'm putting it on to pause to talk to you because I haven't caught up for many days. And Kenji's just gone out to do some shopping, so this was the opportunity. He's invited Deb and Brent, or Jugs and Mugs, if you like, and Barnacle Bill over for, a meal. And unfortunately, Brent doesn't like any seafood, and I found out last night that some seafood doesn't agree with me, and suddenly Kenji's all, oh my God, there goes the whole day's planning. So I feel for him. Most people have enough alcohol to keep them happy. I was thinking I might not drink today. I guess I'm... Yeah, sorry. Battery's just died. Luckily, I had another pair right in the bag. I've done something stupid. Well, first of all, I just overdid my trip here, and I've been out every night going late hours and whatnot, spending too much money on booze, which is why I thought last night as I lay in bed, yeah, why don't you give it up? Why don't you just swear off alcohol? And the other voice says, hey, you're not, you know, it's not like you have a problem. You just spend a lot of money. You have fun. It's a social thing for you. What about your Saturdays at the Only Cafe? Isn't that fun? Why would you give that up? You like the taste of good beer. But last night I was in a darker place, and I thought, no, I'll give it all up. That's not likely to happen, so let's forget we had this conversation. But when I left Montreal, I mentioned I'd pulled a little muscle in my upper thigh, my left leg. It hasn't recovered, only it's got worse. And last night, I ran for bus, even though Kenji said, Dad, don't run. And I pulled that muscle in a bad way. And I could barely get on the bus. Coming home in a taxi last night from Kenji's restaurant, where he treated me to an incredibly meal of food you don't normally see in your average Japanese restaurant. Staff of at least 25 in the kitchen. It was just amazing. This is Minami. Very, very fancy place. We ended the evening, Kenji treating me to he asked for a sample, a taster, and I got just a drop in a glass of a Daiginjo sake. These are the best And they're, you know, the rice is polished to a certain percentage. Anyway, he got me a glass, my final glass, birthday celebration. It was $19 for the glass, which I normally never do. But hey, people pay $50, $100 for a glass of whiskey. But it was really good. That was the last drink I had. And then instead of going out to bars or anything else, we came home and watched the rest of Stranger Things. And that was kind of nice. We shared that experience together. It's been a wonderful sharing time with Kenji, more than I can remember in the past, a long time. It's been very special. And, of course, you know, he's that much older. And, you know, just the fact that he put on this movie for me today. He said, hey, Dad, have you seen this? And puts on this picture, which is exactly what I want to watch. It's quite amazing. And the music he made for me and everything else. And inviting my old friends over. It's special. Anyway, I was seeing as we left the restaurant, we took this guy train and then grabbed a bus on Hastings because the lineup was horrendous on a Saturday night. And I wouldn't have been able to stand. And the taxi came in. It was like a van. I could not lift my leg high enough to get in. I couldn't drag it. I couldn't lift. It took me minutes to actually sort of throw myself onto the bench. The leg just won't lift. I couldn't get into the bathtub the other day. I couldn't lift it up high enough. It's a serious problem. And I got to get a flight Tuesday. So it has definitely thrown a cramp into my party time here. I don't really know what to do about it, whether I should go to a physiotherapist or a clinic. I really don't want to go to a hospital or anything and wait in line. There's nothing they can do. But anyway. That's just a reality, you know. So for all the times you heard, oh, best time ever, everything is fabulous. I've acknowledged that, well, things get balanced out, and reality always enters the picture, and sometimes in ways you don't like. I had this conversation with the Barstool Buddha. I don't know if I had that talk. Did I mention about the night out to the Spaghetti Factory on Thursday? And then with Harold, and we went to the Hops next door, and we talked, and he'd said he was thinking of starting a YouTube channel just to tell his stories, because it was the realization that, in his case, in my case, our stories die with us. Like last night, my son didn't remember, and not surprising, maybe never knew, that I'd been a sleeping car porter for a summer and had to wash dishes at one point across the from Vancouver to Winnipeg, back when I was living with Jugs. It was a real adventure. It was a real part of life. And I guess it doesn't matter. The next generation comes along and live their lives and so on. But there is that sense of our histories we want to share. And, you know, the longing you have for other people's. Like my own father's, you had all those stories I absolutely never knew. I suppose in one sense it doesn't matter at all. Because the reality is, and this is fits in with this LSD movie, you're living for the present, you're living in the now. I was a porter, and I portered while I did it. I mean, I was living that life, and, you know, I knew how to make up the beds, I knew how to do the right thing, and turn on and off the lights with my porter key and my uniform, and so on. One of just many jobs, one I'm really glad I sort of dug out. And then I was thinking back last night, talking to Kenji about, as we were in this Japanese restaurant, about the luck of my timing for being adopted, more or less, by the president of the company to be his drinking buddy, or a drinking buddy, but I had a very special place in the company. And his words to me, don't worry, we'll get you a house. You know, to a large extent, he came through on that. That whole story is just, it's pretty amazing. Anyway, again, there's this awkwardness I feel. As soon as I start doing that, I become aware of listeners, and I start to think, oh, Ken, that sounds like you're bragging and putting an end to it, and it's just a stupid loop you just get stuck in. So I'm probably going to end it there. I'm probably going to just go back to watching this movie and being in the now. I gotta have a shower, get myself ready before the guests come and help clean up the apartment a little bit. But I wanted to touch base. I was very, very close, I guess a day or so ago, to not doing any more recordings, and in fact, not even releasing this or the previous clips. If you've heard them, obviously I changed my mind. And if you don't, it doesn't really matter a whole lot. I'll just start something fresh when I get back to Scarborough. But I guess, you know, I've been out here. I probably should include something for those of you who are faithful listeners and still like to follow. Let you know what it's been like. It's been especially, I mean, the trip has been about Kenji. And everything else is just an added bonus. The Barstool Buddha and Barnacle Bill and Jugs and Mugs and then all the other characters. Tuesday is my birthday. And I organized a little gathering at Malone's, a little bar just downtown. On, I don't know, it's on Pender or somewhere around there. And I think that'll be fun for whoever shows up. I'm hoping Shane and Allie will, and maybe Adam and some others. And it'll be a mixing of the Dixon James listeners or the Dixon James readers. And it's called the Dixon James Celebration. So maybe I'll give you a little report on that after it happens. And I just hope I can bloody well walk. I think I'm going to be able to just find a chair, and I think I'm going to be sitting for most of the time because I don't see this thing healing in any short amount of time. So there it is. Before I start getting depressing, I'm just going to end that now. And this is the Scarborough Dude, a worn out, beat up, tired Scarborough Dude who's been having an awful lot of strange dreams lately. Signing off.
I just fell off the wagon. I dropped out of AA. Since you left, I guess I haven't seen a sober day. I'm back with all my old friends. They say they're still for me. Just in case you want me back, this is where I'll be. I'm gonna live that Miller High Life. That's what I'm gonna do. I will be there with my hand held out when they say this bud's for you. I'm gonna win that Pabst Blue Ribbon. Well, at least I'm gonna try to drink Canada Dry before I die. I'm hanging out with Jim Beam and Jack Daniels now and then. There's no way, Jose Cuervo, you're gonna let me down again. I love strawberry daiquiri. She gets you off my mind. But just in case you want me back, I won't be hard to find. Gonna live that Miller High Life. That's what I'm gonna do. I will be there with my hand held out when they say this bud's for you. Gonna win that Pabst Blue Ribbon. Well, at least I'm gonna try to drink Canada Dry before I die. I'm gonna drink Canada Dry before I die.
someone familiar, but surely not me.
Okay, I had to include that song, and rather than track down a copy, I just thought I'd record it while I was listening to it. I'm still listening to Sally's Visit West, the 46-song collection that Kenji made for me. Maybe I'll have it on in the background while I talk. Yeah, hang on. Where do we go from here? It's what? Sunday. We're just going to turn it down a little bit. Sorry. So you may or may not hear it. Doesn't really matter. I'm going to move over to the sofa now. It's a Sunday, April, what, 23rd? And I have not been out for 2 days. It's raining now. It was nice earlier. I could have gone out, but I've just needed recovery time. I really overdid it my first week here, including that, you know, closing down the Metropole. Last night, the stadium was nice because Deb, Brent, and Bruce came over and Kenji made dinner for everybody. Oh, various salads and appetizers of things you would, you know, he's kind of inspired by what he sees at work. I could look at his house and say, God damn it, there's no food here. And yet the cupboards are full, but it's all ingredients, not ready to eat. You know, you don't open a freezer and pull out a mac and cheese. It's just good stuff. So he's been feeding me kale and just, you know, edamame-based noodles, salads, and oh, just all kinds of stuff that the downside is, when he cooks, the kitchen is a disaster at the end of it. Like, you would not believe the number of spoons, pots, pans, dishes, plates that just get thrown into every dish. These things get mixed up and prepared and added. So I've been a chief cook, but I haven't done much more. I am still reading Prime Green. Anybody who's would like kind of an overview of the 60s, you know, with a lot of each chapter kind of being taking on a topic, a section. And we're talking, you know, Neil Cassady and, of course, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Ken Kesey, and all these people. There was a little section, I don't know if I can find it, when he met Kerouac at the end of Kesey's trip, the electric Kool-Aid acid trip, when the Merry Pranksters drove to the New York State Fair, or World Fair, and it was a horrible bust. And they met up with Kerouac, and Kerouac just did not like these hippie freaks at all. And refused to give him a cigarette. Like, you know, he asked Kerouac for a cigarette. No, buy your own. Now, you can't fault him for that, but he was just plain miserable and unfriendly. He said he was still good-looking at that time. Can't find the passage, but it's a really wonderful read. All right, here, they've just arrived in New York, and they show up at this guy's apartment. So this guy's a real part of the scene. I mean, he knew Kesey well in that whole place. He was a writer at the time himself, and they showed up. There was an after-bus party where Kerouac, out of rage at health and youth and mindlessness, but mainly out of jealousy at Kesey for hijacking his beloved sidekick, Cassady, despised us and wouldn't speak to Cassady, who, with a trip behind him, looked about 70 years old. A man attended who claimed to be Terry Southern, but wasn't. I asked Kerouac for a cigarette and was refused. If I hadn't seen him around in the past, I would have thought this Kerouac was an imposter, too. I couldn't believe how miserable he was, how much he hated all the people who were in awe of him. "You should buy your own smokes," said drunk, angry Kerouac. He was still dramatically handsome then. The next time I saw him, he would be a red-faced baby, sick and swollen. He was a published, admired writer, I thought. How can he be so unhappy? But we, the people he called surfers, were happy. So, and on it goes. And then, of course, they drive over to Millbrook to meet up with Timothy Leary. And I've talked about that before. So I love reading books with so many cross-references. It's just so exciting. So really what I've done is I've given myself something I rarely do in Toronto, time off just to read. I mean, that's if I was to go to a beach holiday, I don't want to go exploring. I want to sit comfortably somewhere, maybe with a nice drink, and read. And I just don't get to do that. So I've spent the past couple of days, past few days, reading this and, of course, the other book about Allen Ginsberg. So it's been a pleasant stay. I'm in admiration of my dear son. The dinner that he took me out to at his place was, I think I mentioned, was just wonderful to see his interactions with all the staff who work there. He's a very popular young man. And last night, for him to entertain my own friends, he made us play a game of, I thought that it was called Upward or Word Up or something, by the makers of Scrabble, but it's three-dimensional, so you can tack letters on top of letters to make a new word. So, you know, now you can make snow, and then you can make, you know, plow or whatever, you know, top a letter on top of it. And, of course, my son's version is you can make up words, and, you know, if you can give a good enough definition, maybe your friends will buy it. Well, none of us were stoned, and I think if we had been stoned, it would have been a lot more hilarity. We played it fairly seriously. But, of course, it took that much longer. And they said, well, that's what you get for asking 70-year-olds to play a game you've played with your friends and sort of zip through and laughter all the way. But anyway, it was a good way to end the evening. Taxi service sucks in Vancouver. They were on the phone for an hour, both Brent and Kenji, calling taxi numbers, being put on hold and getting promised taxis in 15 minutes. Nothing came. They waited an hour. If only walked out to a commercial, flag out a camera, home in 10 minutes. Ridiculous. And this is a city that's banned Uber, and you think, okay, now can sort of see some of the attractions of Uber. So they got to make some kind of a deal here. Somebody's got to work it out so that nobody loses, but the service is improved for the consumer, because this absolutely sucked. Anyway, not going to go on about that. I did want to clarify a couple of things. I think I've, I don't know whether it's in Florida or here. God, I sound terrible. My voice, I haven't been talking much, and I am a wreck. I am a wreck. I really did a number on my leg on that, and I could not get into the taxi, and I can't put pants on without sitting down and pulling them up. I can't stand up and just lift the leg, and it's nasty, and I'm just hoping. I think today is not any worse because I haven't done anything. A cough had me up at 2:30 this morning till about 3, just hacking and wheezing. So, yeah, I did myself in. And when I get back, I got a shitload of work to do. But the thing I wanted to say was, I think I claim to have leveled up to actually be at a higher level when everything's working well. And I realized, God, I think a lot of that must have been tied in to marijuana. Now, I know I didn't smoke in Florida, so that really doesn't quite hold true. It's just everything was in a groove. And I guess this week it's kind of fallen apart with my cold and my pain in the leg and my just sudden tiredness of not wanting to do anything, go anywhere, not wanting to drink any of that great beer they have out here. Well, I'm almost ready now. It's been an incredible time for us just to be getting together. Those of our youth, you know, Barnacle Bill, Labarstool Buddha, and myself, and of course Debbie and Brent, who came later, of course, when he married Debbie and inherited all her friends. And then to see it through new eyes, through my son, who's just enjoying living out here and doing well. It's been a meaningful visit, I guess, and I'm beyond being able to explain that. I think you can just read between the lines and pick up for yourself what I mean. I really did think that I wasn't even going to put out a recording of Vancouver, and perhaps I won't, or perhaps I'll save it the later, I don't know. There's not much here. Anyway, I think I'm done. I think I've just that little bit of talking has done me in. There's beer in the fridge, they're all big bottles. I could go out. I know what I was going to do. I was going to look and see, is there any place nearby I could just go for, maybe for dinner. My son is working, of course, till 11:30 or so. He's got a couple of shitty shifts coming up this week. They don't like the day shifts, the morning shifts, lunchtime, because people don't drink as much at lunch, so your tips are much, much lower. You think about that, yeah. And lunches, people don't splurge like you do at supper and have the extra sake and stuff. So much better being on an evening shift, but he doesn't have full control, although he's been here a year and does have some say. Anyway, I can leave it at that. Tomorrow, Barnacle Bill is picking me up. I'm going to the Red Wagon for breakfast, which is great. Really neat eatery on Hastings, which I don't think I've been to, but got great write-ups. And maybe meet up with Harold and then back to his place to go have our map day and plan our trip to Yellowknife. So there's some significance of that. And, of course, the day after is a little birthday party I'm throwing for myself at Malone's. So stay tuned. This ain't over yet. You'll hear from me, you know, maybe from the airport or something. Scarborough Dude. Signing off.
Heaven, there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. And when we are gone from here, all our friends will be drinking all our beer. 'Cause in heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. That's why we drink it here. And when we are gone from here, all our friends will be drinking all our beer. I'll take it now. Heaven, there is no smoke. That's why we better have another toke. 'Cause someday when we croak, all our friends will be smoking all our smoke. 'Cause in heaven there is no beer. That's why.
Check. Got it on low sensitivity. Otherwise, you'll be hearing the conversations of everybody who walks by me on this little promenade at English Bay. Last thing on my list to do, get to English Bay and just look out at the water. The scene I just loved, of course, when I first came here, everybody does. My God, it's Pacific Ocean. And you see all these freighters waiting to come in. And it's just a great scene. Looking across towards University of British Columbia, all those lands. And, it's where I want to be today. And luckily, it's my last day. It's April 26th, mid-afternoon. And sunny day. I've been so lucky with the weather, considering what they've had up until around the time I arrived. And anyway, you know, you don't need a weather report. Maybe I'll do a little bit of a recap of yesterday, my birthday, 69. Thank you. Started off, and I don't even know if I've already said some of this or not, but anyway, here goes. Harold called me up the night before and said, let's meet for lunch before your gathering at the that bar you're going to meet at, not the Metropole, the Malone's, at 3:30. Meet for lunch, and oh man, I don't know. But anyway, 12:30 at the Keg and Cleaver, or the Keg, I should say. Dunsmuir and, Pender maybe. Fabulous lunch. Prime roast, you know. And Caesars. Bailey's and coffee at the end. And then we walk down to... Hang on. You know, I'm going to just see if I've already recorded this. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to go back and see if I've already told you all this. Hang on. Yeah, no, it appears I hadn't shared any of that. So, here goes. Anyway, where were we? Yeah, just finishing lunch, and Harold's got the walk all planned out. He's got it all timed, like, as he does with his profession. The project manager. We walk down to where they have this thing called Flyover Canada. And I didn't know what to expect, but, man, it was wonderful. And I highly recommend it to anybody who gets to Vancouver. It's like a ride. You know, you're strapped into a chair, and the chair moves as if you're in, you know, a small plane just going over, you know, from Canada, from coast to coast. And it's just amazing. It speeds up. It slows down, goes higher, swoops over mountains. And the chair you're in actually moves and sways. You know, it's like an amusement park ride. But damn, it was fine. The only one complaint, and everybody's had the same complaint, it ends and you just wish it could go on for another half hour. You just don't want it to end. You just want to keep doing that. So that was a treat, and that was Harold's treat to me. And on top of that, I got my book on the national parks of, or the, the historic parks of Canada. Very generous of my old friend Harold. Very kind. And anyway, we managed after that. Of course, should add in that just with our Baileys and coffee, we shared about a quarter of a cookie that I had just bought. And that cookie just put me in the very right zone for that little ride over Canada. Boy, oh boy, was that fun. You get a spray, like you're actually getting mist and a spray as you go over, you know, water and through clouds and stuff. Like, I didn't want to give that part away, but that just blew me the first time. I almost shouted out, oh my God, it's great. So anyway, so we got to Malone's, and there, Debbie and Bruce were there, and Brent and Glenn showed up, Debbie's older brother, sometimes known as Reginald, and Adam, which is great, and later on Shane and Allie. So a good gathering. We had control of a fair amount of space. Drinks were like ridiculously priced, $3.95 for a pint or something. I don't know. I didn't buy any. I just had people buy them for me. And thank you, Adam. Thank you, all of you. And then Shane said, let's go back to his place. A friend was opening some beer, so that's what we did. Adam had the car, drove back. By that point, I guess I'd had the rest of the cookie when I was in the bar, another quarter. I really wasn't into drinking, so I had a taste of a couple of things. And mostly just listened. I got into a long, in-depth discussion with Harold on, Adam. On the beats and their characters and personality. And I haven't met anybody who I can sort of talk with at this level of, you know, knowing the incidents, the meetings, the places, the characters, the history, the way Adam does. I was quite impressed. And then just enjoyed, you know, what looked to me like a whole kind of beat scene. Here you are in an apartment in Vancouver with, you know, concrete walls and floor-to-ceiling books, and it was just quite amazing to see. The vibe just felt, wow, the scene continues. And I always get that when I'm high. I always feel, hey, we are the beat scene, us amateur podcasters. It is a subculture of its own. Anyway, I guess that kind of fell flat, didn't it? I guess. And then I got home, of course, and Adam dropped me off. My son was still up. And talked to him a little bit, and complained I didn't have a light to read, and he brought out a nice light so that I could lie in bed and finish off the book. Was it Primal Green? I don't know. The book on the 60s I told you about by Robert Stone. Just a perfect day, you know, for a birthday celebration. You know, it wasn't the intention you go and get drunk like maybe we used to. It was, have a good time, have quality time, engage with the people you're with. And we did all of that. So anyway, here I am on my own now, alone, and contentedly, because this is the goal I set out. I found a new route. There's a lovely little short bus, number 23, that takes you all along Beach Avenue here, and might take that on the way home as well. So, gosh, I don't seem to have much to add to this. I know there are pieces left out, evenings here, days there, beers consumed, friends talked with, but it's just overall been a wonderful trip. I feel a little bit guilty. I have spent a lot of money. Like, I just came back from, I stopped in at Three Brits. I had a craving for fish and chips, and I was looking for a cheap cafe and didn't see any around like they used to. Everything is upscale now. But Three Brits had a very nice Phillips beer on, you know, on special, and it was excellent. And then fish and chips, and they gave me two giant pieces of fish. It was really, really good. I mean, quality fish and chips. So, you know, $17 by the time you're out of there is $24, and you think, oh my God, I don't spend that for lunch. But I'm telling myself, hey, man, come on. You're 69 now. You deserve a treat once in a while. And you're older. You're not a kid anymore scraping pennies, you know. That's easy to say, you know, get rid of my guilt. But at the same time, like, hey, man, if you don't have money coming in, you can't be just pouring it out all that fast. But anyway, that's no point in going over that now because it's done. I think what I'm going to do next, I think I'm just going to light up a joint, or what's left of one, and sit back and enjoy the sunshine. So, if this is the end, thank you for tagging along on yet another journey. I'm going to have a bunch of these clips I'm going to have to put together when I get back home. I was hoping I could put them all together with Kenji's music, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that or not. It's on Spotify, so I don't have a digital MP3 copy. And I can record live. Kenji said, don't do that. It's not good enough quality. Rip from the, you know, YouTubes. But, eh. Hey, does anybody really care out there? It's just the music was so tied into this trip, the playlist that Kenji made. It really, you know, I'll hear a song and I'm going to connect it to this time, this place. So I think we started off, did we not start off in Bluffers Park? And it seems kind of fitting to end up on English Bay. And that's what we'll do. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 8 freighters out there. There's just something about seeing them high in the water because they're empty. So they either have emptied and waiting to leave or they're just coming to load up and head back east. I don't know. All right. Scarborough Dude. Signing off from his vacation in Vancouver, 2017. My little birthday getaway. Bye for now.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. This little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
He likes beer.
My wife often frowns when we're out on the town and I'm wearing a suit and a tie. She's sipping vermouth and she thinks I'm uncouth when I yell as the waiter goes by. I like beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.
I like beer. It helps
makes me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much, vodka puts my mouth in gear. While this little refrain should help me explain, as a matter of fact, I like beer.
He likes beer.
Last night I dreamed that I passed from the scene, and I went to a place so sublime. All the water was clear and tasted like beer. Then they turned it all into wine. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much, vodka puts my mouth in gear. All this little refrain should help me explain, as a matter of fact, I love beer.
Yes, he likes beer.
Chick, chick. We got no time to waste. I got 8 minutes left to finish off this particular podcast. This is sort of the end of the Vancouver trip, except I'm no longer in Vancouver. I'm in Bluffers Park. Slapped all the pieces together. You know how these things work, right? You record, and then you sort of fit them in and add them up to an hour. So this one, which I want to put out today and get rid of so I can start fresh back here in Toronto, needed an ending, and this is the ending. It seems fitting. It's an absolutely beautiful day. It's real spring. You can see I'm looking over. I'm sitting on my favorite bench. Cat's side, looking over at the tree I used to love to sit under, winter or summer, or spring or fall, for that matter. And it's a weeping willow, and it's in full bloom. It's a lovely light green, and it's just so alive, and the wind just carries the, just waves through those, that greenery. It's gorgeous. So anyway. Here we are. I got my senior's $1 McDonald's small coffee. And, so many pieces to toss in here. And I think what I'm going to do instead is not tell any of the stories that I had in mind. And just see what comes up. And if it's a couple of minutes of stumbling over words looking for something fitting, so be it. Looks like there's another movie shoot going on down here. I see all the trucks and trailers parked. Oh, Bluffers Park on a day like this. What a fine place to be. Ooh, there's a couple of big fatsoes over there under that tree. Holy moly, husband and wife, tubby. No offense, hey, whoa. This is not a slight on fat people, no pun intended. It stands out when all you're seeing is, it's not the head, it's that belly. Holy Christ. But anyway, and little bit of sadness. There's a car I followed in here, a lovely old Toyota Avalon, which you never see. It's a bigger model. And I saw a husband and two little children, very excited, speaking in, I don't know, Punjabi or something. It certainly wasn't English. And the wife. And I was sitting in my car looking over at my bench, thinking, okay, I just got to get my coffee and my recorder and off I go. And then the lady headed over. And I thought, oh, well, she'll enjoy it. And the kids are all excited, yelling, pointing probably at the, geese and everything else. And the husband had a distinct limp, like not just a limp, but only seemed to be able to walk on his, the top of his toes on one foot. And it was, obviously uncomfortable and probably permanent damage. And right away I thought, okay, that scarred him somehow for life. He will never quite fit in, maybe within his culture or whatever, he's deformed. And he walked over, and he immediately turned around and left. And I could tell The wife wanted to sit here, and the children would have been happy, and she just wanted some time. And now they're in their car again, and they're driving off. And I felt, okay, probably within that culture, whatever he says goes, and maybe the wife has had to somehow give in to whatever it was because of his condition. It just struck me as sad. Like, hey, whoa. She couldn't say, hey, come on, sit down. I want to sit here for 5 minutes. She could not say that. It was not possible. Now I'm projecting all of this, of course, but it saddened me. Like, hey, can't they be equals? And probably not. Sometimes, you know, I mean, this is at a distance. I will never see or hear anything about those people again. It's really, maybe on one level, well, I was going to say not important, but it is important. It's their lives. Anyway, such is the life of an observer, which is what I'm doing. Today is a day, there's a job fair going on. This is Wednesday, this is May 3rd at the local, what used to be Scarborough City Hall. And I made 20 copies of a resume and just tweaked it slightly for my number two son. And he said, don't wake me, Dad, when I last night said, hey, it starts at 10, and they do not want to see somebody coming in at 3:30 for a session ends at 4. That's a bad sign. You've got to get there early. He said, I know. And I've learned enough over the past few years to not push it. And that's why I came down to Bluffers Park for a coffee, so that I wouldn't stay around home waiting for him to get up or making noise or you know, pounding on his door when it isn't necessary. He knows he's going to go. He's full of optimism. And me pushing would not be in the least bit helpful. In fact, it would be detrimental. So, yeah, they agree too. So I'm just leaving it at that. I'll have my coffee. I'll enjoy it here, and I'll go home and if he's not up by 11, we'll see. Anyway, damn, I was just onto something besides that. Oh, shit. I got a new hat. It says Owasco. This is where I had my RV serviced yesterday. It cost me $500. But they included fixing the roof vent. The piece was corroded off. I knew it was going to be a problem. They found a used one that fit. Otherwise, I would have had to replace maybe the whole unit. And he showed me this thing, and it was all covered in dirt and everything else. I said, you know, you'll clean that up and you won't charge much. No, sure, no problem. So I appreciate that. So they fixed the roof end. And then, of course, they did the oil change, and I had to pay for each liter of this synthetic oil. I wanted Mobil 1. They didn't have it, but they did have Castrol Extreme or whatever. So we're good, I hope, for another 10,000 kilometers. That'll get me all the way up to Vancouver via Yellowknife, I'm sure. And I paid this extra money to do this check. And they check for leaks, and I think he did a little bit of caulking somewhere or other, maybe around the vent, I don't know. Fill the tires up properly. I've always struggled trying to get those right. It's nice to see 99% life left in my new oil. I remember from the trip to Florida, how that was haunting me. Am I going to get home before it needs changing? It got down to 22%. So anyway, we're good there. And then they did supposedly a propane test, and I don't know what else. Now, I sat there and I mapped out the trip to Whitehorse. I had a wonderful time. I had a great big huge atlas of Canada and the States, and I mapped out the route I want to take with Barnacle Bill when I pick him up in Edmonton sometime in the middle of August. And off we go. So that is going to be a very long trip, and I am looking forward to it. But the road trek, I'm guessing, should be in good shape. Now, I should have asked more questions. I should have been a little more. Instead, I meekly, at the end, I saw there was a couple of couples from the Netherlands renting an RV again. They've done it before. They've gone all over Canada. And they were there, and one guy came back speaking to his partner and said, look, I got us two hats. And right away I thought, I got to get one of those. So my final question, instead of asking about the road track and the servicing and this and that, I said, how good a customer do you have to be to get one of the hats? And he didn't know. The agent I was dealing with in service, I actually like the guy. I felt good about it. I didn't mind paying my $500 for stuff that, except for the oil change, I may have been able... A better man could have done it on their own. Okay, let me put it that way. A better man could have done it on their own, but I can't, and so I pay $500. And for that, I got a hat. But somehow it seemed worthwhile. So that's it. I'm a happy camper gone. I've gone over time already. Sorry, but that was the big news. And now, bam, I got to get right on interviewing new host families and hiring two new teachers and interviewing students for the upcoming summer program. But I got it all lined up. I got it all in place. Everything is going well. Everything, it's under control. I know what I'm doing. I am in control of my life. I'm ending on that note. I am in control. Bye for now. See you soon, because I'm not done yet. There'll be another podcast coming up shortly after this. Scarborough Dude, signing off.